Hey, welcome everybody. This is your still as yet unnamed podcast. I'm Reed Kerr. With me, our buddy Chris Stuckey.
What's up?
Now, Stuckey, this we're doing something here, and of course, we have no name for it yet, so it's still unnamed.
Work in progress.
Right. We are all works in progress forever, I think. So this came about, I write a lot about pop culture and all that. I've done this for a while. You really wanted to do this.
Yes, I did.
Because you're basically a sports guy. You're a guy who's watched a lot of sports in your life.
A lot is probably an understatement.
Watched a heroic amount of sports.
Yes.
Monumental amount of sports. And you're rotating away from that now.
Yeah, I'm trying to broaden my horizons and, you know, instead of watching Hawks-Nets on a Wednesday night, maybe watch some kind of pop culture show, something that I could discuss with people other than NBA beat writers.
Right, which I am not.
Yes.
So, but I am a guy that enjoys a good pop culture discussion, right?
Absolutely.
So, and I'm trying to lead you into the light. I'm trying to lead you to Roadhouse and those kinds of movies.
Yes. Yes. Heard of it now. Not watched it yet. We'll watch it soon, but...
Okay, let's talk about a couple of things this week. We're going to try to do this once a week. Wednesday nights, we'll put this up, which, of course, puts us kind of in the middle of American Idol night.
Yes, it does, especially when they go Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, like this week.
Okay. Idol is taking up too much of my time this year. Let's resist the urge to go Charlie Sheen first and talk a little American Idol.
Perfect.
What do you think? It's a new format. It's the new... Well, not format. It's just nobody's there that we really care about. The Jennifer Lopez, Steven Tyler, Randy has moved to the end of the aisle. It works for me a little bit better than I thought it was going to, but we're not to the part of Idol that I find interesting anyway.
I didn't have a problem with it until last night. You know, coming up, doing the audition shows and Hollywood Week and all that, it didn't bother me. I thought, you know, Steven Tyler's kind of funny. Jennifer Lopez is what she is. I mean, she just sits there and cries and is hot. But
right.
The problem I had last night was they had all of the 12 guys go, and they were all good. And the point of American Idol isn't to have everybody, you know, isn't... When they first come, they're what they were in their audition. They're people that have decent voices. You have Simon, you know, people that know what they're talking about, who are helping them become real artists and helping them get better. And without criticism or, you know, any kind of direction, you're going to have these 12 guys not get any better over time.
Right. And the same thing will happen tonight. We're recording this Wednesday night. Same thing will happen tonight with the girls.
Yes.
There will be 12 of them. They'll perform. They will range, according to the judges, from greatest ever to very good.
Yes.
And they're not. And they're really not. This is not a great year for American Idol. Of the guys that I saw last night, I think maybe two of them I could see as the American Idol. The kid that sang the Judas Priest song, I thought was good. I don't know if he's got what it takes to be the American Idol. He was very Adam Lamberty, and not in any sort of flamboyant way, but in his voice and what he was doing. And will you see somebody this year who can step outside of what they normally do? Because that's the thing about American Idol. It's not just the best singer. It's the best person at playing the game. It's the best person at... Because if you're going to be on it for the whole run, you're going to go through Michael Jackson Week, and you're going to go through Beatles Week, and you're going to go through Grand Old Opry Week and Singer-Songwriter Week, and they're going to make you sing all sorts of things that if you are actually going to be a professional singer, you'll never sing. You'll never touch. Can you get to that point where you're good enough to fake it, I guess? If you are singing in an R&B band, can you sound okay for Country Week and vice versa?
That's why Adam Lambert was as successful as he was. He was able to, you know, take all those different genres of songs and music and, you know, put his own little spin on it.
Right.
But he did a good job. And just this year, that I just don't see these contestants being good enough right now and getting the direction they need to improve over time to be, you know, to have a really good competition.
Right. And with the judges, they're not yelling at them. Here's what I want. And this works so well with Simon Cowell. He was brutally honest. He was never mean. Okay, well, he was mean.
He was mean.
He was mean. But when you're mean and British, people love it. You know, if it were some guy from the Jersey Shore saying, you know, yeah, you suck, that would be mean. If it's a guy with a British accent, you're awful, just awful. We find that better for some reason. But he's right. In the auditions, the last round, the round where they had them trying out, and they were walking through an aircraft hangar for some reason.
Yes.
I didn't get that. But at least twice, Jennifer Lopez was breaking down because she had to send someone home. Here's a news flash. Not everybody makes it. There are winners and losers. That's why there are winners. And the people that she was sending home weren't very good. They weren't good enough to be in the top 12 of females or males. They weren't good. They weren't going to make it. You can go home and you come back and you... No, you're just not good enough.
They cut it down to 24. And in a year from now, we'll know about four of those people.
I think you're being generous, yes.
That's generous. And simply because they're just not good enough.
Right. No matter how good the year is, how many people from American Idol, how many seasons have we had of this? Like 50? How many people are actually memorable for good or bad reasons, we'll say? Five? Eight?
Probably. I mean, not a lot.
Right. Kelly Clarkson, Adam Lambert, who didn't win, Chris Daughtry, who didn't win, Jennifer Hudson, who didn't win.
Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood, because she was the country American Idol, and they knew she was going to make a ton of money.
Nobody sticks out.
Yeah, nobody's clamoring for the return of Clay or Ruben or Taylor Hicks?
Yeah.
It's hard, unless I Wikipedia it, it's hard to come up with these guys' names.
It is.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what pop music is. There are lots of people who work their lives and get one hit, and then that's all they wind up getting. I don't think anything wrong with that. But American Idol is to stardom like The Bachelor is to matrimony, you know. Theoretically, that's what it's about, but it's really just reality TV that we enjoy for a little while and then forget about.
Yeah, and it's a competition between people who may or may not be good enough to make it in the industry. And when you have people like Simon Cowell, who actually has an ear for this kind of thing and knows what's going to be successful and what's not, you know, when you have them giving you direction, you have a chance of getting better. When you have Steven Tyler, who's just like, that's awesome, you're hot.
Who wants to sing with you? Yes.
I mean, it's not gonna last, and I think the whole American Idol franchise could come crashing down fairly soon.
We'll have to see. The first part of it is better than I thought it was going to be, because yes. I thought it would be horrible. But yes. it's okay. It's an interesting train wreck. But now, like you said, they're to the point where those people have to get better, and it's not where you start; it's where you finish, and who gets voted off and where their fans go, basically,
yes.
for American Idol. So we'll talk about that. I can pretty much feel sure we're going to talk about that every week because it's on like eight nights of the week, too. So
yeah, it takes up a lot of our time.
All right, quickly here. Let's throw in a little Glee, because Glee was one of the first pop culture things that I actually turned you on to, I think.
Yes, you were.
Actually, your mother and I got you Glee'd.
Yes, and I don't regret the decision at all.
Here's how I am on Glee. I don't like the music. I don't even care about the music. To me, the music is just auto-tuned to hell, and I can't even tell who's singing unless I'm looking directly at the screen. But the other things that they write, the storylines to me, they work. They remind me of, you know, painful teenage years. It's like Freaks and Geeks with a weirder soundtrack, basically.
It's a good show. I enjoy it. I really do. I'm glad you did turn me on to it. My mother turned me on to it as well. I've enjoyed it. I caught up, and you know, I'm watching this season as it's progressing, and it's a good show, and I don't, you know, it's not necessarily the most realistic thing, like
no.
going out on the football field as zombies,
no,
with a you know, a couple girls on offensive line. It's not, you know, it's not realistic, but it's entertaining, and that's what you're there for, is just be entertained. And
yeah, and that's the kind of thing that, you know, it's like I said, it's not earth changing.
No.
This isn't something we'll look back on later and see how it affected the planet. I honestly think by next year, probably at this time, it'll be done. It's not something with a long shelf life to me, but it is very interesting while it happens.
Yeah, it is, and it has fun storylines. And if you're watching this year, the storyline that I think is probably the funniest is Puck going after the fat chick. That's
a nice little swerve.
It is, and you know, coming from a guy like him who, you know, is the ladies' man and all that,
and
he is hard after this chick.
Okay, I got one question here on Glee before we move on. Why doesn't Kurt sing anymore? You know, Kurt's got a great voice. He switches. He goes to this other school with the warblers or whatever. And the other guy is singing all of his parts now. I don't think he's opened his mouth to sing in like a month.
He was. I guess he's too busy chasing the other dude. I don't know. I don't know why they would. He won the award. He won some kind of award.
Yeah, and they take him off. They put him on the shelf completely.
Yeah, it seems like he would try to cash in on, I guess, his talent.
I don't know. I mean, those kids are probably under the American Idol contracts where they own everything they do for the next 10 years.
Well, like what Glee's setting records for more top whatever top hits than
it's ridiculous.
The Beatles and things like that.
Yeah. Oh boy. All right. I'm going to hold off on Charlie Sheen for last, I think. That seems to be a good closer. Oscars were last week. I had seen exactly none of the movies up for Best Picture. This is kind of the chink in my armor because I don't really watch good movies.
I watch bad movies.
I watch awful movies. Yeah. I watch Piranha 3D.
Yeah.
Because here's what I want in terms of my entertainment. I listen to music that challenges me. I listen to music that's emotional, and I like movies where stuff blows up and people do funny stunts, basically. And I'm this thing, like Dennis Miller said, there's nothing wrong with being shallow as long as you're insightful about it. And so that's where I am. Had you seen any of the movies that were up this year?
No, I hadn't.
You don't watch movies barely at all.
I'm working on it. I'm working on trying to expand, but I don't know. A lot of these movies that are nominated aren't the type of movies I would go see.
Right. And you did put money on them, didn't you?
Well, I wanted to watch the Oscars. I really did. And I was kind of torn. Like, am I going to be able to stay awake through this entire thing? Without something on it. And, you know, if I'm watching Toledo play Akron in college football right. on a Thursday night, I feel like I need to have a little something to keep me interested.
Right. And you, of course, are my buddy who is a degenerate gambler, as we call you. So you wanted to put a couple of bucks on the Oscars?
Yeah. And I don't know anything about any of these actors or actresses or directors or any of these movies in general. I've never seen them. I want to watch The Social Network because I think it looks kind of cool. But other than that, I have no interest to see really any of the other movies. But I wanted to watch the entire ceremony, entire awards show, and be somewhat engaged.
Right. Were you?
I was. I go online. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for the good bets, checking it out, all the odds. I don't know a lot about this, so I was reading on Twitter. Somebody said, Annette Bening, best actress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're getting 4-1 odds, but she's like, you know, she's the underdog that they think is going to win it. I was like, that.
Right.
You sold me.
Okay.
You sold me. So I put my money on her. I was like, all right, since I'm going with a long shot, let me take a favorite. I want to make sure I at least try to break even here.
Mm-hmm.
So best director, I don't know the dude's name, but it was a Social Network.
Right. Fincher, I believe.
Yes, Fincher. Yeah. Yes, that was him. And it didn't go as planned.
You went snake eyes on both those, didn't you?
Yeah. I was outraged when the best director came and the King's Speech like racked up on every award, and they took the best director as well, and I was not happy.
Yeah, with that, the Oscars to me, top to bottom, were just boring.
It was pretty boring.
And it's not just the shows, not just the movies that are up for it. Just there was no element of surprise in the whole thing. And you know, they're not going to do an Oscars telecast with stunts in it. You know, it's not like they're going to have Arcade Fire come out and have guys do BMX wheelies on stage while they're playing or anything. It's the Oscars. It's supposed to be kind of boring. But there was nothing to this. I mean, what are we talking about on the Oscars? Previous years, a lot of times you talk about the opening montage or what the opening comments were from whoever hosted it.
Yes.
And there's none of that. All everybody was talking about basically was James Franco high?
If you want to have a good host, the host has to make fun of everybody.
Yes.
That's what makes it entertaining, is when you go out there and the people that are in the audience are getting made fun of, and the camera goes on them when there's a joke, you know, in there, a joke about them.
Yes. You want that uncomfortable humor, don't you? You want that office-style humor. Yes. We didn't have that. And it's nothing against Franco, who I do think was high. And
something.
Well, you know, apparently in that 127 Hours movie, you know, he had to cut off his arm and turn it into a bong. So I don't know. But Anne Hathaway seemed like she was trying really too hard. It's like she was auditioning for Glee while she was hosting the Oscars. And Franco was just so laid back the other way. It just didn't work for me. And it really didn't work for anybody. The Oscar ratings down 4 million people from last year.
Wow.
That is a lot. 4 million. And this is after, what, 2 years after the Oscars decided to go from 5 Best Picture nominees to 10, just in the hopes of putting movies out there like Toy Story 3 and True Grit and The Social Network that people have actually seen. I mean, I don't know what Winter's Bone is.
No.
Never heard of it before the Oscars. I hear it's great. But, you know, we live in an area where those kind of movies don't, you know, it's not on a double bill with whatever the latest Adam Sandler movie is.
Just go with it.
Yeah, exactly. Which wasn't nominated for anything. What a travesty of justice that was. Grown Ups got nothing. I didn't get that.
It's what you expect from a Sandler movie. It'll make you laugh.
Right.
But it's not groundbreaking comedy, or it's not going to win any awards.
And it's not going to show up on the Oscars.
So, with the Oscars.
Yes.
What, aside from Jane Franco and Anne Hathaway, get the host out of it, what do you remember about it? What is memorable about it to you?
Oh,
what sticks out?
God, probably when you just said that, just glancing back at it mentally, the one thing that stands out was Kirk Douglas.
Yes.
Oh God, that was awful.
That was very uncomfortable for an extremely inappropriate amount of time. Almost.
Why was he there for so long?
I don't know. I guess he's trying to, I guess, take advantage because he's running out of time.
That, okay. Here's what went through everyone's mind when that happened. Oh my God, he's awful. And has he had his eyes done? Because, you know, he kind of had that fish look about the face, because he'd obviously had something tucked back in the around the eyes. But to leave him out there for that long, you want to protect people. You don't want to have them doing stuff that they're not ready to do on stage.
Especially when they're 97 years old.
Yes. It's far more respectful to take care of people than it is to throw them out there and make everyone else have to be that uncomfortable. It's like Dick Clark on the New Year's Eve things.
Yeah.
A little goes a long way. You know, it's like radiation and mayonnaise. A little bit goes a long way, and don't overdo it. Yeah, but you're right. That was the thing that stood out about the Oscars was the uncomfortableness of that moment, and that moment lasted forever.
Nothing funny
sticks
out.
No.
Nothing.
When Billy Crystal came out,
he was pretty good.
I honestly wondered if that was an emergency thing because James Franco had passed out somewhere. and they were like, who is Steve Martin there anywhere? Is Alec Baldwin somewhere we can get him? What about Billy Crystal? Let's get Billy Crystal up here. Anybody that can tell a joke and can, you know, like go out there and vamp for 5 minutes while we pull his head out of the donut tray.
Yeah, hopefully this kind of opens their eyes and they rethink the host next year, because it didn't go very well at all.
I thought 2 years ago, Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin, I thought they did a great job because they're both
comedians.
They're both comedians. Well, you know, Baldwin's not, but he might as well
yeah,
be.
Yeah,
he's great in comic roles. And Steve Martin is Steve Martin. Franco and Hathaway just didn't have that, and that's, you know, that's what the numbers are kind of showing us. All right, tell you what. How about Charlie Sheen? This is kind of an ender for us.
Oh yes.
What do you think? Before I give my thought on what's going on with Charlie Sheen, I know you've been following the nonstop train wreck.
Absolutely, I have. And every chance I get to see him on TV or hear him on the radio, I take advantage of that and I listen, because I just don't feel like this is something that's going to last too long or something we're going to see that often. He's a train wreck as it is right now. They canceled 2.5 Men, or they went on forced hiatus before they canceled.
Right.
Because of his partying and drug binges and all that.
Right.
Now, he's passed drug tests. He's clean. He does not have drugs in his system.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing more damage sober than he was high.
Well, he is a Vatican assassin warlock. That's what they do. He's full of
tiger
blood.
He's got
tiger
blood. Yes, Adonis DNA, of course.
He has come up with more random, insane sayings.
Winning.
Than, it's like a year with Gary Busey jammed into 2 weeks. It's just astounding. I think he's playing us.
Very possible.
He is at the top of his, maybe not popularity. He's got the highest Q rating right now that he may have ever had.
Oh, yes.
You know, and above Platoon and Wall Street and Young Guns and whatever movies he may have done, nothing good in the last 15 years. But everyone is talking about Charlie Sheen. Every radio show that I listen to on whatever network has Charlie Sheen sound bites. They have the drops winning of the random things that he says.
Oh yes.
He, at a certain point, maybe it's the wrestling background in me, but I believe that something becomes a work when it just when it keeps going on beyond all sorts of levels that make sense. And this seems to me to be something he's orchestrating.
If it is,
yeah,
he's doing a great job at it.
This is the best acting job maybe ever.
Ever, because yes. I mean he's endlessly entertaining, and everybody knows what's going on right now with him, because he's made himself available to every possible media market.
TMZ was in his house.
Yes, TMZ did a live stream from his backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got his goddesses, who one is a porn star and one is something else. I'm not exactly sure.
One is an investment broker or something. She's,
and it has dysfunction written all over it. He tells a story that his bedroom has two beds, and he chooses which one he's going to hang out with that night. He's...
Okay.
Yes, the girls, same room. And luckily enough, finally, the kids aren't under the same roof like they had been.
Yeah, they came and got the kids. That makes me feel better in terms of just being able to listen to this and enjoy it. Because the way I feel about it is that a long time ago in my life, I realized that, number one, you can't save everybody. And number two, when things happen to people that you don't know that they want to happen to them, you got to let them. I mean, I have no interest in Charlie Sheen one way or the other. He is sort of funny on 2.5 Men. Is he that much funnier than anybody else from the 80s would be in that role? I can't say. So if he's doing this, especially if he's sober and doing this, and I've got to salute him in just terms of just going absolutely crazy.
So the chances in the next month of him admitting that this is all kind of, I don't know, premeditated act of some sort, or he's dead.
I don't think he's dead. I don't think everybody was talking about the Deadpool in this. I don't think that happens. I still see this as just him raising his profile. I think he goes silent for a little while and then winds up maybe on the last episode of Oprah. I don't know, maybe on, you know, somewhere with a public forum. But this to me does not. I don't think this ends the bad way for him.
If he's doing it to make money, mm-hmm. I think we should all send him a dollar. Just because we've gotten so much entertainment out of this, and these catchphrases and his clips from his interviews are going to last a really long time.
It's like the fates smile down upon us. Just the gods of entertainment went, they need another Gary Busey.
And we got...
Here's Charlie Sheen.
We got that and more.
Yes. Here's your Tiger Blood. Here's your Soft Targets. It's... The things he's saying are just so random and funny, I guess. I there's no better way around it for me. I just feel like this has to be a work that he's doing. He's working all of us. Like Joaquin Phoenix did for a whole year, going undercover in his own mind, basically.
I love the fact that, you know, he talks about all his partying in his interviews and how epic it was and all that. It just kind of, you know, brushes away the fact that it's illegal to do cocaine. I mean, that's not just frowned upon, it's illegal.
Have you examined the laws of Hollywood? I don't really
know.
I don't really know if that's applicable inside that area of California. I don't know. Just from what I've heard, I'm just saying.
I guess if anybody can get away with it, it's them.
Yes. I did this. You didn't catch me doing it, and I survived it. Booyah. There you are. You know? And when he's talking about all the people that he's partied with that have, like, overdosed, and now, like, that's his gift to them, where now they know their limits. He's like a chemical Johnny Appleseed. That's what he is. He just goes around, and he just plants these seeds for these other people to get better.
I just want to thank him, though.
Yes.
Because I've just had so much entertainment out of this.
It has been good. And like I said, I think at some point he just stops talking and winds up with an interview, maybe another one on Piers Morgan, they're old friends, where he just goes, you know, I just kind of had to stop all this. And he never admits it. That's the thing, like with Joaquin Phoenix, that whole year that he spent Andy Kaufmaning us, to me, when they finally admitted it, that kind of breaks the illusion of this whole last year.
Yeah, he's entertaining, and I love it.
All right. Anything else while we got you here, Stucky? Are we wrapping this one up?
Let's wrap it up.
All right, we've been on this for a while. This is the first edition of the podcast, and again, we have no names, right?
We're working on it. We've got our best people on it.
If you have a name, we'd be more than willing to steal it from you, right?
Yeah, hit our Facebooks, definitely.
At Angry Otters. I don't know. You don't need something that actually tells what you do anymore. You just need something people can remember.
If we knew this Charlie Sheen thing would last a while, there's tons of material there, but,
right, but
it's got a shelf life.
Yeah, it does have a shelf life, and you know, there's been... I'd hate to still have a podcast I've been doing for like 8 years that's named after something Gary Busey said. Because He might kill you and eat you. Yeah. So, anyway, all right, that'll wrap us up for this week. We'll be back again next week. We're going to make this a Wednesday occurrence.
Let's do it.
All right, so more then. And thanks for listening.